us, Lord. Defend us, Lord. Lift up a standard. Raise up the banner.
Sing it out. Defend us, Lord.
Defend us, Lord. Lift up a standard. Raise up the banner.
One more time. Defend us, Lord.
Defend us, Lord. Lift up a standard. Raise up the banner high.
Let's worship him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The word wrestle means to struggle or fight against. Amen. The phrase spiritual warfare is not found in that wording in the Bible. However, the Bible is loaded with scriptures that let us know that there is indeed a battle that is being fought, and we have got to be ready and we have got to be prepared in order to be able to fight the battle and be victorious. Amen. Ephesians 16:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against authorities and against the powers of darkness in this world and spiritual forces of the evil in heavenly realms. Amen. My title tonight, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach from the topic, no weapon. No weapon. No weapon. Hallelujah. If you could lift up your voice with me tonight and just pray that God would have his way in this place, Lord. We thank you for your presence in this place tonight, God. The great move of your spirit that's already taking place here tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that that would continue, Lord God, that you would open up every heart and every mind in this place, God. Lord, that you would unleash faith, Lord God, and courage, Lord God, and a boldness, Lord God, in this place, Lord Jesus, God, so that we can stand up against the devil, Lord Jesus, God, in this day and age, Lord God. Equip us, Lord, in this place tonight, I pray in your name, and you may be seated. The word wrestle means to struggle or fight against. Understand that we are not fighting against humanistic forces, amen, but a supernatural force. And the supernatural force that we're wrestling against is the devil. Within this spiritual warfare, the devil uses weapons against us. Amen. These are not weapons like guns or bombs, but they are spiritual weapons. According to the dictionary, a weapon is something that is used against somebody in either a defensive or an offensive manner. The Bible also says that we have been given weapons to counterattack the adversary. For in the 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Strongholds. Strongholds are the weapons that the devil uses to fight the spiritual battle against the church. A stronghold is a mindset that is impregnated with hopelessness that causes a person to accept as unchangeable something in their lives, even though they know it goes contrary to the will of God. Just like in the natural, there are weapons that don't kill or stun, but stun or disable for a while. And then there are weapons that are lethal. The word lethal equates to capable of causing death. A lethal weapon is something that is used against somebody that is capable of causing death or destruction. Amen. Out of all of the judges that we read about that ruled over Israel, there is none whose legacy has stood the test of time like that of Samson. If I asked you who Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, or any of those other judges, who they were, what they did, there would be a large amount of people here that are like, I don't know who you're talking about tonight, but I believe that if I say the word Samson, everybody knows about Samson. Who's heard about Samson? Raise your hand. Amen. The atheist knows about Samson. Your neighbor who doesn't go to church knows about Samson. the businessman or the Sunday school child knows about Samson and his deadly relationship with Delilah. Delilah is every woman's nightmare, and she's most cases every man's wildest fantasy. But if we were to take away the stimulating facade or the tantalizing temptation, we would find out ever so quickly that the fantasy would metamorphosize into a nightmare and become a horrific reality. Regardless of how tempting she may be, we must realize that Delilah is the most manipulative and wicked and most lethal weapon you or I, as Christians, will ever have to face in our lives. Amen. I'm talking to you tonight about the spirit of Delilah. Everyone has a Delilah to face in their lives. This has been a message that has been weighing on my shoulders for quite some time. It's a message that has carried weight because God has been dealing with me on this subject for quite some time in prayer and in fasting and in seeking God, in looking out and just feeling things in the spirit and feeling things in prayer. The Lord has revealed to me that my generation and the generation that will come up underneath us is wrestling with the spirit of Delilah. The spirit of Delilah is a tempting spirit. The spirit of Delilah is a seductive spirit. Amen. It is sent by the enemy to manipulate and deceive the young in this generation and the young adults of this generation into giving themselves in a relationship with the enemy. Amen. Understand, Delilah does not have to be a woman. She could be a man. She could be an attitude or a weakness. She could be the thing that causes you to cross the line of decency and morality and cause you to do exactly what you said you would never do. Amen. Delilah can be a spirit that causes you to feel depression, hopelessness, discouraged, lonely, frustrated, or suicidal. Delilah is dangerous. Understand that the Bible does not give a description of Delilah. It does not mention how beautiful she was. It doesn't say if she was large, skinny, tall, short. It doesn't say that. And for that reason, Delilah can then become whatever she needs to be or whatever you want her to be and whatever you think you need her to be in your life. Amen. She could be money. She could be power. She could be prestige. She could be position. She could be drugs, sex, alcohol, whatever she needs to be in order to get you to fall for her. Amen. She may look like Denzel Washington, ladies. She may be that charming man. That spirit may come to you, and you may have that desire for that in your life, but it's sent to take you out of the church. She may look like a 6-bedroom home with 5 bathrooms and a 3-car garage. Amen. She can be whatever she needs to be in order to be destructive in your life. She is a spirit. We find a chapter that begins with Samson in a sexual dilemma with a prostitute in Gaza. He went and spent the night, and at midnight, he jumped out of bed and ran out of the city carrying the gates to the top of the hill facing Hebron, which was about 40 miles away, and he escaped the enemy that was lying in wait to kill him and destroy him that morning. And then we travel right into a discussion about this woman named Delilah. Don't believe that just because these two women are in the scripture together that they're both dealing with the same thing. Don't be lulled into believing that because sexual activity is involved in both that it's dealing with the unfaithfulness or fornication of Samson. Don't think that this is part of history with these two different women involved the same thing. Why? Because Samson was able to jump out of bed and leave the prostitute's house, but he was not able to withstand against Delilah. He was not able to get away from Delilah. He had a weakness with women, yes, but when he got to messing around with Delilah, he was not able to escape. She wasn't just a moment of weakness or just an experience. Delilah was Samson's stronghold. There's an important fact that we need to know about Delilah and understand about Delilah is that Delilah did not come on her own. Amen. We read that Delilah was sent. Just like a mercenary hired to assassinate, Delilah was sent to Samson with the same aspiration and intentions to destroy him. Amen. She was sent by those who served idol gods, and they came to her and they paid her a sum of money for the sole purpose of binding and figuring out how to bind Samson. For the Bible says in the fifth verse, "And the lords of the Philistines came unto her and said to her, 'Entice him, Samson, and find out where his great strength lies, and by what means we may have to overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver.'" Realize that we are dealing with a group of men who wanted to destroy the man of God. Amen. Even though he got caught up in so many different situations, he was in fact a man of God. That God had chosen to deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. He was the promise of the angel of the Lord to his mother, who had been barren, and his father. Samson was a man of God in a nature and spiritual battle, in a natural and spiritual battle. Amen. The Philistines made every attempt to destroy him, but failed constantly. He was causing havoc in their kingdom, and he vowed to destroy them and what they stood for and what they had done to him. They had vowed to destroy Samson. And Samson's purpose was to deliver the children of Israel, and for 20 years he did just that. So these men conspired to kill him constantly and destroy him constantly. Understand, people of God, that there is conspiracy to destroy you. Your Delilah never just comes into your life, but she's sent into your life, amen, at the precise time in your life to be a stronghold, to be a stumbling block for a specific purpose in your life. Your Delilah is the manifestation of a meticulous, strategically spiritual plan by an adversary who seeks nothing but to destroy you, nothing but to tear you down before you can ever reach that level in God that God has designed for you, that God has anointed you for, that God has ordained you for. Amen. Why does she want to do this? Why does the spirit come to you? So that you can never cause that havoc or tear down the kingdom of the devil. Amen. For many of us, she comes in the form of entertainment. We live in a day and age where entertainment is a serious stronghold, and it can be a stronghold in the church. Amen. We saw the powerful play where that last trophy came out on Wednesday. It was a play about Hell's Trophies. And Brian, the reason why everybody hated him so much, for those of you who weren't there, is he played essentially the devil, and he was bringing these trophies out. Young people, young men and women that he had deceived into giving up their promise. And then they were now in hell for eternity. And they brought out that last trophy, and it really, really ministered. And I felt the presence of God because it spoke directly to the music that we listen to and the entertainment that we put before us can be a stronghold. Amen. We watched the Bible quizzing video, and it talked about how can we put that entertainment before us and still call ourselves Christians. Amen. It's the potential to tear you down before you can ever wreak havoc on the devil's kingdom. Amen. Delilah comes in many different forms for many of us. But understand, the devil knows exactly what to send you or I to be a stronghold. He has studied you and calculated up the statistics, and he knows what to send your way. He's been studying you. He's been watching. So many people try to play patty cake with the devil, thinking that it's some kind of game or that they're able to win some sort of spiritual battle game of tug of war, but it's not that easy. It's not the case. Say, it's okay if I just do this one time, but understand, church, the devil's not playing with you. The devil's not messing around with you. He's not playing games. He's come for one thing and one thing only. The Bible says in Revelation 12, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the great sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." The devil's on a leash. He's on a time constraint. And he's trying to do whatever he can in the most potent form that he can to you or I before his time's up. Amen. His fate is sealed, but ours is not. Amen. Hallelujah. So we need to understand that the devil will not offer you something that you would not already desire to have. Maybe it's something on the inside. Maybe it's something subtle, a thought that you've been entertaining for some time. It's not on the surface, but the devil knows. Amen. He knows that if you don't have a problem with alcohol, then he's not going to send alcohol to you because it won't affect you. However, he has something specifically designed, perfectly tailored for you, just like Samson. He has a bullet with your name on it. Every time we touch something that we should not touch, every time that we watch something that we should not watch, send an inappropriate text message, send an inappropriate Snapchat, every time we click on a web link or web link or navigate to a website that we should not, we're telling the devil what our weakness is. We're telling him what we struggle with. We're telling him what he can send our way. Understand that sexuality was not what was going to cause Samson to fall, because he had been in that mess before and he got up and ran. But Delilah was the manifestation of a desire in Samson. Amen. You see, there is something about the ego of a man. Okay? Us guys, hey, let's be real here. Most wives out there know, amen, that if you want your husband to do something for you, you just have to play to his ego, right? Make him feel good about himself. Hey, I'm being real here. Come on, be honest. You could come home from the grocery store and he goes out and he gathers up the groceries and he's got four or five bags in his hands. Men, don't hate me. You say, honey, you want me to grab some of those bags? Those look awfully strong or awfully heavy. But he's going to say, what is he going to say? Oh, that's nothing. Really go over and grab, watch this. I can grab it. Grab a couple more bags. What do you think about that, honey? Now I got seven. And walk on into the house. No one knows what I'm talking about. Amen. Why? Because we have an ego. Amen. Then once you entice him, talk to him and find out where his great strength lies. Ladies, men love to be talked to. Why? Hey, because when we're talked to, it makes us feel as if we are needed. Amen. But the same can go for women. Amen. And when a man feels needed, he is opened up to find out his secret. And once you find out his secret, once you find out what is in his heart, once you find out the innermost emotions, then we will be able to bind him. Amen. Overpower him and afflict him. Why? Because she had meticulously penetrated Samson's heart. She had been sent with a purpose to kill him. In this spiritual warfare, there are weapons, amen, that have been meticulously formed against us, that are being sent to us to penetrate our hearts. Amen. Everything's coming up roses, but sometimes we look on the other half of things and it turns out to be chaos. Has anybody ever seen circumstances like that in their life? Amen. I know I have. My marriage was and still is doing great. Where's my wife? Where is she? I love you, honey. Although youth ministry has added bags under our eyes, there's still that sparkle. There's passion, forgiveness, and caring, but most importantly, there's love. And amen. Everything's going just fine in our marriage. God has given to me the desires of my heart and my wife. Amen. Just add a little brownie points in there, please. But there was a time that, on the other hand, my job situation was funny. Bills were coming in faster than money was going out. And I was struggling to make ends meet. And I started to become complacent. And I began to struggle in my own mind, and I began to get discouraged and began to feel less than a man, because I felt that's the man's responsibility. You know, he's got to have it under control. You know, my wife shouldn't have to go out and work extra. I should be, you know, I need to be doing that. And it wasn't seeming to come together like it should. Okay, and so I began to struggle, and I couldn't quite understand that I had gone to every church service, and I had helped in ministry, and I had paid my tithes, fasted, prayed, studied the Word of God, yet I was sinking deeper. I would get up and preach the Word of God, God will make a way, but over here on the side, I was wondering for myself, how long do I have to wait on my own? Why hast thou forsaken me? But what it was that was Delilah's spirit. The devil had sent that spirit to me trying to say, see, you're not a man. You're not doing it right. Your wife's out there working hard. You're in between these jobs that seem meaningless. You know, you're not doing it right. You know, why don't you just give up? Why are you still going to that church? Isn't it funny how the devil always seems to throw that in your, when things get tough? We begin, it's funny how people just like that forget that God's the one who brought them out of bondage and sin in the first place. And then we come into church and we live for a while and then we go through something hard and we're like, well, I don't know why I'm going to that church. It's because God is a part of that church, amen? And so I just begin to listen to that negativity and that shame of being a failure. And so, see, I made it through the cigarettes, so the devil knew that that wouldn't work. I made it through the drugs, and I made it through the alcohol, so the devil knew that that wouldn't work either. I wasn't turning back from that, but the devil knew I had an ego. I was a newly married man. I was supposed to have it all together. And so the devil began to handcraft that weapon and tailor-made it, and he meticulously manifested that weapon that had the name Carl Grant on it. I became a weapon unto my own self. It was just for me. I began to be discouraged, and so I would preach God will and that God can, yet I looked at my own situation and I asked the question, how and why and when will it ever happen for me? You know, I can say this now, but there were times when I had even said, Lord, if you're not going to make a way for me in this, then you might as well just take me out. There is a lethal weapon that might have been formed against you. Amen. For some reason, it may be that you feel as if you are less than a man or less than a woman. For some of you, it may be the overwhelming sense of your past. The devil is using your past as a weapon to keep you from moving forward in your future. Amen. For some of you, it may be a struggle with pornography, drugs, sexual activity, sexual confusion, unemployment. For someone, it may be loneliness. Well, nobody believes in me. Nobody believes that God has called me to do this or to do that. Amen. But I'm here to tell you that the Bible says that no weapon formed against you, amen, is going to prosper, and that every tongue that riseth against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Amen. However, there is something very important that you need to understand. This is a promise from the Lord to you, but God's promises are conditional unless you follow the instructions. Unless you follow the instructions, you will be bound. Samson didn't follow the instructions. Samson kept playing around with the devil. Listen, you can't play with the devil, church. You can't party over here and praise over here. It doesn't work that way. The Bible says, come out from amongst you and be ye separate. You have to follow the instructions. Why? Because the devil has a weapon with your name on it. He wants to send it your way and penetrate the heart of the Christian and the heart of the believer to destroy you. The Bible says, Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God. We heard this in the message this morning from James. That ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles of the devil? They are the lethal weapons of spiritual warfare. Verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, standing therefore your loins girt about with truth. Then it goes on to say, having the breastplate of righteousness. Listen, when you have the breastplate of righteousness, the enemy cannot penetrate your heart. Come on. He cannot penetrate your heart with that weapon. Why? Because you followed the instructions. And you've put on the breastplate of righteousness. The righteousness of God and the righteousness of the Word of God and the life of living for God begins to cover you and cover your heart. Amen. Amen. It goes on to say that your feet need to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet are very important. When your feet are shod with the preparation of peace, they cannot run to Delilah's house. Amen. But we will be established by the word of God. It goes on to say, above all, having the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked. The shield is something that protects you. Amen. It absorbs all the stuff that comes your way. All the weapons from the enemy, all the offensive attacks from the devil. Amen. God is standing there taking every blow for you, saying, come on, child, get up. Keep going. You're going to be all right. All you got to do is continue to follow the instructions. Amen. Finally, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet is the mind of Christ. Amen. Let this mind that is in Christ also be in you. If you have the mind of Christ, the enemy cannot penetrate your mind and find out what your deepest secrets are. Amen. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And I said earlier that God gives us weapons to counterattack the adversaries in our lives. Amen. Our weapons are 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Samson didn't follow the instructions, church. Because he didn't follow the instructions, Delilah was able to penetrate his heart, and the Philistines came in and he was bound. Amen. The first thing they did, was they took away his sight. All right, but we're gonna move back real quick. I have a side note that I want to talk about. I'm gonna read it right here. Judges 16. Amen. And it came to pass afterwards, and he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see where his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, and that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee every one of 1,100 pieces of silver. We read that earlier, moving on to verse 6. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And this goes on, continues and goes on, and we read and we know in the story that Samson told her a bogus way to take his strength, to bind him. It wasn't the real thing that would bind him and take his strength, but she tried it. And how deceived was Samson that he woke up and was bound and tore off the bindings, and then we read again in the next verse, and he's telling her another way, like he didn't learn his lesson before. But that's the thing about strongholds. We get a desire. It manifests itself in our heart. It manifests itself in our mind. Amen. And we begin to think on that. And we begin to desire after that. It becomes our dirty secret, our secret thought. And the devil begins to try to bind us. Well, maybe if I send this his way. Oh, that didn't work. We're still deceived. We still don't get it. So we still keep flirting with that spirit. We still keep playing around, messing around, going over to Delilah's house, hanging out. We know we shouldn't be. And so Delilah asks again, I wonder if I can bind him this way. Well, yeah, if you try this, you know, I'll be bound. Falls asleep, wakes up. Same bindings that he just told her. Still doesn't get it. But he's so bound. He's so wrapped up in that lie, so deceived that finally Samson reveals to Delilah how he can be bound. How he can be bound. Samson's hair was cut, and the glory of God was removed from Samson's life. And this is where it gets very powerful for me, because I am our generation. I'm talking to my peers. Listen up. We cannot afford to sacrifice the glory of God in our lives, to sacrifice the power of God, to trade it for something meaningless. We can't afford to go out and be flirting with this, flirting with the spirit of the world, flirting with the temptations of the world, and allowing the devil to take and trade the glory of God from our lives, the power of God from our lives. It all happened when Samson laid down in Delilah's lap. He got comfortable sleeping with the world. He got comfortable with his head in the lap of Delilah, and that's when he was bound. He was bound when he was complacent. He was bound when he was comfortable doing something and being somewhere that he should not be. And that's when he lost the glory of God. That's when he lost the power of God. And that is what the spirit of Delilah is sent to our generation to do. Because without the glory of God and without the power of God manifest in our lives, then this church will go nowhere and this church will do nothing. Amen. But God has called us to be a city on a hill. God has called us to win the lost. God has called us to minister to our peers. Amen. And we cannot do that if we are not separate. Amen. Then we read, I just read it before, the first thing that the Philistines did, they bound Samson, they took him into captivity, and what did they do? They poked out his eyes. The first thing the devil wants to do to you, church, when he binds you, is he's going to take your vision. The devil will take your vision. Why? Because the enemy understands that without the vision, the people perish. The devil wants to take your vision. But don't let Delilah take your vision. When you lose your vision, you end up in a downward spiral into the depths of sin and you don't know your way. What happened to Peter when he stepped out of the boat? James talked about it this morning. Peter steps out of the boat. He has full trust in Jesus. But he took his eyes off of God. He lost his vision, the place that he was supposed to be looking. And he began to sink in the very thing that he was just standing on top of. We can come to church and we get full of the Holy Ghost and we're stomping on the devil, standing on the top of sin. And we lose our vision. And we begin to be bound by the very thing that we were just standing on top of. Triumphant over. Amen. It's a terrible thing to lose your vision. And Samson had lost his vision. Amen. You can all stand. And if we could have the worship leaders come. Amen. They all began to rejoice. They all began to shout triumphantly that they're great warrior that had wreaked havoc on their kingdom had been bound. They took his eyes out. They had him in captivity. They were working him as a slave. But the Bible says that they got a little cocky and a little confident, and they said, hey, we're going to make sport out of this guy. We're going to bring this guy in front of everybody. We're going to laugh at him. And we're going to make fun of him. But the Bible says that when Samson was brought to the temple, he told the lad who held his hand, they shall be led by a child, and said, let me feel the pillars which support the temple. And they stationed him there between the pillars, and he was in position. Everybody say, in position. It's all about position tonight. It's all about position. Then in verse 29, the Bible says, and Samson took hold of the two pillars which supported the temple, and he braced himself against them, one on his right and the other on his left. And what did he do? With one final prayer and one final act, he began to receive some strength and he cried out to God. And he pushed against those pillars and he tore the kingdom of the enemy down. Amen. As these worship leaders begin to sing, God is going to do something awesome in this place tonight. Amen. But like James said this morning, it's going to take willingness. Amen. Some of us have dealt with the strongholds in our life for far too long. Some of us have dealt with the strongholds in our family's life for far too long. Amen. But right now, God is preparing this altar to be a place of position. When you begin to move forward, you're going to begin to move forward into position against the pillars that hold up the enemies, the kingdom of the enemy in your life. Maybe it's somebody in your family that struggles with sexual immorality or sexual confusion. Maybe it's somebody in your family that is struggling with their walk with God and they've left. Maybe you're struggling with your calling. Maybe you're struggling with a depression in your life or anxiety in your life. I'm here to tell you, if you would just be willing to move forward and say, no, I'm not going to have this anymore. I'm not going to let the enemy take my vision. I'm not going to let the devil bind me and take the glory of God from me and the power of God from my life. I'm going to move into position and begin to push against the pillars. And I'm going to take the kingdom of the enemy down. And I will be triumphant and I will be victorious in this place right now. Jesus, Lord, I pray right now, God. Lord, that you would lose great faith in this place tonight, God. Lord Jesus, God, we come against every stronghold, Lord Jesus, God. Every shackle, every chain, Lord God, of bondage, Lord God. Every circumstance, every issue, Lord God. We bind it in the name of Jesus, God, and proclaim victory over it. member that's not present tonight, why don't you get in a position for them right now? We got young people that are going to be starting Project 7 groups at school this year. Why don't you get in position? Get in between the pillars of the school that you're going to. You're going to take down.